الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صلوات من أكبر. We follow a mazhab which is based on the path of Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt means members of a family, members of a household, which was the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a family which, in the words of Imam Hussein himself, where he says, we are from Ahl Bayt al-Nubuwa wa Ma'adin al-Risala wa Mukhtalif al-Malaika. We are from the house of the prophethood. We are the source of Risalat. And my house is the house where the Malaika used to descend and ascend. This is where the revelation used to come down. And so for us, you know, indeed it's a blessed 3 days that we celebrate the Viladat. Yesterday we celebrated of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and this evening we are celebrating the anniversary of the Viladat of Abbas bin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Although these occasions took place years apart, but the Viladat of Hussein on 3rd Shaban, Viladat of Abbas on 4th Shaban, is actually a symbolic, you know, sign of the bond in Silatul Rahm between the two brothers. And that is the essence of family life. And it is with this, you know, perspective in mind that I chose to talk about family life, especially in relation to the roles and duties of the husband and wife. You know, we talk about the Ahlul Bayt, at least I can say, you know, whenever the opportunity comes. But there is also time when we have to talk about our own issues and link it with the examples from the Ahlul Bayt. That is the purpose of this member. You know, sometimes we get all different kinds of reaction. Some people like one kind of majlis or mahfil, others like the others. When I get negative response from both sides, I realize I'm on the right path. Because then we have to make sure we fulfill our duty. And that is the whole reason why I chose these 3 nights, you know, for this topic, because it's a serious issue. It is an issue which affects the community. You know, a person in my position, I see things. I hear about it. I hear complaints about it. Many times the complaints are misplaced. You know, everything is put at the door of the Jamaat or the Mihrab or the Mimbar and the Madrasa, whereas the problem is all in the family. And that is where we have to talk about these issues. And of course, we will try as much as we can, you know, to bring in the example from the seerah of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat bin Akbar. Since tonight is the continuation of the theme which I started yesterday, let me summarize that so that we can move forward. Last night, basically, we concentrated on this ayat from Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 34, where Islam has assigned the position of leadership within the family context to the husband. There's no second opinion there. Ar-rijal qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa, Surah An-Nisa at number 34. And in that context, it is the husband who has been made, you know, qayyim for the wife. And this position is actually based on an almost obvious sociological principle of leadership. We talked about it in more detail yesterday, that you can't have any social unit, large or small, where you don't have somebody who has been assigned the duty or leadership, you know, function there. And I quoted the statement from Amir al-Mu'mineen about the society. Let me add one more from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you cannot have a functional social unit, big or small, without a leader. He says, the hadith that we have, Shias and Sunnis quote this both, إِذَا خَرَجَ ثَلَاثَ فِي سَفَرٍ. If three of you travel together in a journey, فَلَيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَكُمْ. Before you start your journey, decide among the three of you who is going to be the leader. Because if everybody is leader, you know, when you have many cooks, what happens? So even the Prophet says, even if three of you are traveling, decide that if we reach to a point, you know, where we have to make a decision and there is disagreement, one person will make the final decision. So this is how we realize that when we talk about leadership, this is an important position as far as any social unit, big or small, is concerned, and the family unit is not exempted from it. The difference that we have, of course, this was emphasized last night, that the position of the husband as the head of the family or the leader of the family is a position of duty and responsibility. It is not a status of privilege and honor. It is, you know, the duty that a person has to fulfill. And why has this difference come in? You know, the difference has come in because of the second sentence in this ayat, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given advantages to some which is different from the other. And we talked about, you know, the husband and then the wife. Especially the biological, you know, advantage, if I may call it, given to the wife as a mother. And the responsibilities and the burden that which comes from it, that this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to lessen that burden from the wife. And therefore, the leadership position coming with some duties have been put on the husband. And what is one of the main important duties? And this is where we come to the another statement from that same ayat. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. It is the duty of the husband as the leader of the family to provide for the wife and the children. It is not the duty of the wife or the mother, you know, to provide. It is not haram, but the duty is on the husband and not on the wife. Salawat Pranayak Barak. Let us now go on to a point which I wanted to make last night and I didn't have time. When we talk about this position of leadership from the sociological point of view, they talk about three types or three techniques of leadership. One is known as the authoritarian leadership, where a person just makes the decision and others don't have any role in that decision making. It is the authority, that's it. Other is the democratic form of leadership, where the leader is there, but he gets the people involved with him, consults them, and actually guides them eventually to what he thinks to be the wise decision. And so the decision would be his at the end, but with consultation of the people in a way they buy into that idea. And then we have a third form the sociologists talk about, where they say the laissez-faire kind of leadership, where the leaders, you know, leaves everything to the people, which is not really a leadership anyway. And so the question comes up, and of course, sometimes, you know, they have studies showing that in certain situations, authoritative leadership is required. Not all the time, but sometimes. And this is where the question comes up, that now that Islam has given the position of leadership to the husband within the family context, what kind of a leader should you be? Authoritarian, or democratic, Or you leave it everything to the wife, for example, and the children. Let them do whatever they want. Of course, Islam will prefer the second of the three options that we talked about, where a leader actually, you know, basically consults and guides the family so that they can come with the consensus to the right decision. Sometimes the consensus would not be there, and so the leader has to make the final, you know, say in that matter. And this is where we talk about the issue of consultation and guiding technique that a leader has to adopt. Let me give you an example from the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Our Prophet was a prophet, a Nabi and a Rasul. What is his status vis-a-vis the Ummah? Quran is very clear about it. Surah Ahzab, ayat number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, An-Nabi awla bil mu'mineen min anfusihim. That the Nabi is awla. Awla means has more authority than the believers on themselves. Just think about it. The wilayat of Rasulullah on the mu'mineen is supreme. He even has the wilayat on the people more than what they want themselves. And so Nabi is awla bil mu'mineen min anfusihim. He is supreme there as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. But even that supreme Nabi and Rasul, the same Allah in Surah Ali Imran, ayat 59, says that remember, when you interact with your ummah, when you deal with your ummah, remember a few things. Number one, he says, remember, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. The first thing remember, it is my mercy on you that you have been lenient with them. لِنْتَ is a verb, لَيِّن. The word English also lenient, probably it comes from the same root. لَيِّن, lenient, you know. And so the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Because of the rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have been lenient towards the people. And if you were not so, لَنْفَضُّ مِّنْ حَوْلِكَ. They have dispersed away from you. So the first thing is to be lenient. Number two, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Pardon them when they, you know, make mistakes. And ask for their forgiveness. Number three, وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And consult them in issues. Of course, we are not talking about all issues. You know, you can't have a consultation on halal and haram. You can have a majority of the, parliament in an Islamic government saying, we are going to make khamr halal today. It doesn't work. There's no consultation in halal and haram. But if something halal is to be done, and maybe there are three ways of doing it. This is where the Prophet is told that if there are different ways of doing the same thing, which is allowed, شَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, then consult them. However, فَإِذَا عَظَمْتَ, you as a leader, then you will make the final decision. And when you make the final decision, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ, then trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the decision that you have made, because Allah loves those who trust Him. And so what we see is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on one hand, has given supreme authority to Nabi over the Ummah, but He's asking him to be lenient, number one, to be, you know, pardoning and forgive them, and to consult them. And we see in the seerah of Rasulullah that he used to do this in certain issues, especially when it came to the issue of warfare, whether we fight in the city or go outside, and many things like that. And we have to look at that example. If Rasulullah, with his special status over the ummah, is asked to be lenient, to be forgiving, to consult, what about this leader in the family? You don't even have any wilayat anyway. You don't have a special authority there. But even then, we have to look at the example of Rasulullah. You know, the issue of leniency has to be there. Quran in Surah An-Nisa again says, "Ashiruhunna bil ma'roof." You know, interact with them on the basis of goodness, generosity, and kindness. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, Quran says, you know, live with your wife, with your family on the basis of ma'roof. Salawat. The sixth imam was asked about the duties of the husband towards the wife. How should he behave with her? Two different narrations by two different individuals who asked the questions. One, he says that his duty is, referring to this fellow, he says, وَقْفِرُ بَنْبَهَا, forgive her mistakes. In another one, he was talking about a third person. He says, وَإِنْ جَهِلَتْ غَفَرَ لَهَا, if she makes a mistake, then he forgives. So the issue of pardoning and forgiving is there, even in the position of leadership within the family. And the issue of consulting. Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about it. He says, remember, فَدَارِي فَدَارِيْحَ عَلَى كُلِّ حَال. You know, always be amenable to her in interaction with her. وَأَحْسَنِ السُّحْبَ لَهَا لَيَسْفُ عَيْشُ. And be a good companion to her so that you can have a peaceful life. Your self-interest lies in being kind and good with her. If you really have to have, you know, وَيَسْفُلْ عَيْشَكْ. And this is where we see that, you know, when we talk about this position of leadership in a family, remember you are the leader, but she is the deputy leader of the family. Allah says you have to manage the family, and you have assigned actually the duties of management of the household to her. So you can't always dictate. You will have to consult her. You have to get her on the same page in order to make things more, you know, peaceful and comfortable in family life. Salawat Prana Ekbar. But again, I would like to emphasize the point I made last night. Being leader in the family for the husband doesn't mean that the wife coming into that family loses her personality and her individuality. Last night I talked about some of the subtle, you know, ways where this is changed because of our culture. And one example I mentioned was the change of the last name. You know, Indira Nehru, born in Nehru family, with marriage she becomes Indira Gandhi. Baba, she is not from Gandhi family, she is married into Gandhi family. In the Muslim culture, at least the cultures which emerged soon after Islam in the Middle Eastern area, you know, women maintain their family names. And I gave the example of the wives of Imam Hussein bin Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat bin Akbar. As if to emphasize that point, I think the seat is empty there. Instead of sitting there, you can come and sit here. Do we have the groom here, the other one? Not yet? Oh, okay. Salawat bin Akbar. Ekbar ho salawat. As if to make that point, it's interesting, the same ayat, the number has not yet changed, where he says, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the wife. And immediately he says, فالصالحات. He says, the righteous woman. Already at least giving an indication that yes, you are qayyim. You are the, as the husband, you are the leader of the family. But the wife still maintains her individuality. She is still a Muslima, a mu'mina, responsible for her life and action in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She will be questioned about whatever she does. And so the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now describes the wife here, he says, the wives, he says, فَالصَّالِحَاتِ. The first point, that wife in the family could be among the salihat, the righteous ones. A mu'mina or a muslima has this potential within her. Nothing to do with her relationship with the husband. Rather, as an individual muslima and a mu'mina, she has this potential of attaining higher levels of spirituality. In Surah Ahzab, ayat number 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this point in a long ayat where he says, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِطَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِئِينَ وَالْخَاشِئَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. He says, verily, Muslim men and Muslim women, believing men and believing women, obedient men, obedient women, truthful men, truthful women, patient men, patient women, humble men, humble women, charitable men, charitable women, the men who fast and the women who fast, the men who maintain their modesty and chastity and the women who do that, the men who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very often and the women who do that. In all these 10 qualities which form the basis of honor and privilege and status in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says men and women are equal. In Islam, in Iman, in obedience, in truthfulness, in sabr, in khushu, in sadaqah, in fasting, in maintaining their modesty and in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both have the same potential. Maybe sometimes the husband is higher, but sometimes the wife would be higher. So that doesn't diminish her personality as far as her status in Islam as a mu'mina and a muslima is concerned. Salawat parne ek bar. And then he says the second thing in that family context. And this is where I don't think, you know, all the women will accept it, but it is there. You know, فالصالحات قانطات. Qanitat means obedient. Obedient to the leader in the family. I didn't hear a salawat from you man here. But you know what I'll say later on. Yes, if the husband has been made the head of the family, and if he is the one where things cannot reach to consensus after consultation with one another, he makes the final decision. That position of leadership would have no meaning if there is no following from the other side. The whole issue of leadership means that a time will come when others will have to follow. Otherwise, there is no sense in having this. This is where you will have anarchy and chaos in that social unit known as a family. However, and so Quran says, الرجال قوامون على النساء, and then coming on later it says, فالصالحات قانطات, obedient. They are obedient. But this issue of being obedient to the husband has been severely restricted by the Sharia. Only in two areas where it is wajib on the wife to obey the husband. Number one, she should not refuse herself without any religious or medical reason. And number two, she will not leave the house without the implied or expressed permission of the husband. And on these two issues, when we talk about the leadership of the husband and the family, and the expectation of obeying him in these two matters, you know, this is unanimous as far as the Shia Fuqaha are concerned. Whether it is the, what they call these days, traditionalist, you know, mujtahideen, or moderate mujtahideen, or the modernist mujtahideen, or even those who are known as reformists. Even late, you know, I mentioned the names yesterday, late Ayatollah Fadullah, Ayatollah Ibrahim Jannati, and even Ayatollah Sani, who are known as reformists, so-called, even they agree on this issue, that in these two issues, the wife has to obey the husband. But then, and there is not a third wajib duty on the wife towards the husband. This is where you realize. This issue of qanitat stops there. And this is where we have to realize, you know, everything depends on how you conduct yourself as a leader in the family. Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, talking about this, he says, remember, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَ رَيْحَانَ وَلَيْسَتْ بِقَهَرْمَانَ. A woman is رَيْحَانَ. What is رَيْحَانَ? رَيْحَانَ is the name of this, you know, aromatic plant, a plant which has good smell and fragrance. Amir al-Mu'mineen says a woman is delicate. You have to handle her delicately. So you do not suffocate that. You know, you do not kill her in that way. Be delicate in your interaction with your wife. لَيْسَتْ بِقَهَرْمَانَ. She is not a housekeeper. The word qahramana, of course, in Farsi, qahraman means the wrestler. But this is not Farsi, this is Arabic. She is not a housekeeper. It's very interesting, keep this in mind. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen saying, remember the wife is like an aromatic plant. She is not a housekeeper. And so this is where we have to realize that, yes, there is a system in the family. Husband is the head of the family. The wife is the deputy head of the family. And in that relationship, there are two duties that she has to obey. In other things, she is responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for herself. Whom does she follow in taqleed? Does the wife after marriage has to start following the same marja that the husband was following? Huh? No. It's not the right of the husband to force that. It is her religious duty to do what she thinks according to the Sharia principles, you know, and she continues that. You know, when Saddam was removed from power in Iraq, and the first democratic elections took place, where even our religious leaders, you know, emphasized on the people to participate, and they said all should go, even men and women, you know, somebody wrote a question which was put on the website of Ayatollah Sistani. And the question was, can the husbands force their wives to go and vote for a specific candidate that they like? The reason I'm bringing this example is because I saw recently in one of the, you know, discussions, people get out of control, where there was discussion about some of the jamaats in Europe, whether women are allowed to vote in the election or not. In Toronto, we have this from day one. It's not an issue here. But in Europe, they were discussing, and then somebody, a lady, made a comment, oh, this must be coming from this maraja who want to put down women all the time. Well, this is the answer, lady. When the question went to Ayatollah Sistani, that can a husband force the wife to vote a specific candidate that he supports or his party supports, Atlas Stani said no. A woman has absolute right to make her own decision, the candidate that she considers to be worthy for that position or that area, she has a right to make her own decision in this matter. And so we have to realize, yes, we believe husband is the leader and the head of the family, but he cannot be authoritarian dictator. He has to be a benevolent leader, you know, build consensus within the family and take the family together forward. Salawat Pranay Iqbal. I'm sure you all are thinking then, what will happen to the household chores? We are not done yet, so don't worry about it. Salawat Pranay Iqbal. What I had mentioned till now is basically only the purely legal, Shari perspective of family life. But there is another dimension to family life that we many times ignore. And that is to do with the issue of the akhlaqi perspective. Islam is not a religion which only talks about purely Sharia legal issues. In many, you know, dimensions of life, you have to look at the akhlaqi perspective and combine together. Yes, the husband is the leader in the family. The wife is a deputy leader, and she has to follow the husband in that way. But then there is an akhlaqi perspective, which is based on that famous ayat from Surah Ar-Rum, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Where Allah says that in every marriage we have placed love and mercy or compassion between the two. That will become the basis of the akhlaqi dimension of marriage. When you put this all together, then you will see things will be done in a manner that you can have sukoon. You can't only go by the legal contract. Otherwise, the marriage will end up more or less like a business, you know, relationship. Only when you combine the legal with the akhlaqi perspective, that is where you will see, you will have this true marriage, where Allah says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, where you have sukoon, peace and tranquility in your family life. Salawat Pranay Iqbal. A few weeks ago in Friday khutbah, I talked about two kinds of ahkam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two kinds of commandments. One is the tashri'i and one is the takwini perspective. Tashri'i means the commandments which have come down through the sharia, through the books and the prophets and the anbiya preserved by the a'imma. Takween means creation, where there is no written law about it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings in those commandments in the nature of human beings. You know, let me look at this issue of family life. And this is where we'll see the interaction between tashri' and takween. For example, you know, when it comes to the birth of a child, a baby is born. Is the mother obliged by the Sharia to feed the infant? To breastfeed the infant? According to Sharia, it is not her duty. The husband cannot force. It is the husband's duty to provide even for the infant. Even that means, you know, hiring or engaging a nurse to nurse the baby, another woman who can feed him. This is the tashri'i perspective. But then you will say, no, how will this work? This is where you have to look at the takwini dimension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no law in the Quran or the Sunnah which says when a child is born, it is wajib on the mother to feed the child. Why there is no law? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in most cases has created this sentiment and feeling of motherhood in the woman. Even if she is not told by anyone, it is her motherly instinct, even a new mother, even if she was never even told about this before, the nature will take its own place. Doesn't matter whether this woman is urbanite or a villager, educated or ignorant, poor or rich, from the first world or the third world, doesn't matter at all. It is the natural instincts will take its own place. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many places brings things through the takween and the creation, He doesn't have to put that in words in the Sharia. This was to make sure things are done naturally without putting the woman as a slave and a servant of the husband. I don't think there is any mother who would, unless there is a medical reason, would not wish and love to feed her own infant child. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, basically deals with this issue. That this will be done, but not as a duty imposed on her. Rather, according to the sentiments and the feelings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the mother. Salawat Parna Ekbar. So how does this help the husbands as far as the household chores are concerned? Again, this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings in this concept of mawadda. When a wife sees that the husband every day is struggling, working hard, so that he can provide for her and her children, this is where the instinct will come in. The mawadda that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in her heart will kick in. And she will say, okay, let me help my husband. Not because he says this is my duty, which is not. Not because he's forcing me to do that. Not because the Sharia is saying I must do it. Rather, this is my expression of my love for my husband and my children. And she does that not as a duty, but as a labor of love. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically brings in the shari'i and the akhlaqi perspectives all together. Unfortunately, there are people who do not appreciate that and immediately say, oh, Islam is misogynist and this and that and against women. No. Look at the whole picture. And this is where you will see the beauty of the teachings of Islam regarding family life. Salawat Parna Ekbar. But for that feeling to come in the heart of the wife, the husband has to do something. And that's not command. An order, rather appreciate. Appreciate what she does in the family. Many times these things are taken for granted. You know, mother-in-laws and husband says, yeah, tumhari maa ne sikhaya nahi hai tumhe ye. Arey bhai, who told you? Did you marry a cook? Were you marrying a qaharmana? In the words of Amir al-Mu'minin, a housekeeper? No. You married a wife. And so when she does something, even if she is new, she doesn't, you know, we're struggling with it, you don't criticize for that. Aaj namak kam tha, mircha zyada pad gaya tha. You know, let her learn. She's doing this after, out of her own, you know, sense of mawadda. And the only way you can support that is by appreciating and thanking her for that. Let me give you two examples. One is not from this town, so don't worry about it. I rarely give examples of Toronto. I do talk about Toronto somewhere else. This husband and wife, both, you know, husband was working and studying in the university. Wife also was studying at the university. One day, husband comes and says, you know, I'm going to have a guest. I invited him for dinner. And the wife says, I have an assignment tonight. I can't cook. Becomes angry. He says, okay, I'll get it from outside. Goes outside, orders Arab food, and brings in when the guest is coming in. But the food was ordered just enough for two individuals. For himself and the guest. Is the wife going to cook next time? You know the Sharia laws, she also is reading the Risala. And she will say, I don't have to do anything. You have to prepare things for me now. Life doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, that was a very simple example, but ended up in divorce later on. And this is where we have to realize that the reform is required, but among the people and not in our Sharia and the faith. People have to reform, understand the true values that Islam has brought. On a positive side, this is Toronto example. We were still in old center there. One day after Juma prayers, the people at the office told me there is a lady waiting to see you. So I went there, sat down. She was from a Lebanese background, and she says, Sayyidina, I would like to thank you. And I knew the family, but I hadn't done anything for them. So I said, you know, why do you want to thank me? For what? And she said, something very unusual happened last week. So I've been married for many, many years. Every day when my husband comes back from work, I make tea for him. But last Friday evening, something unusual happened. When I brought the tea, he turned around and he said, thank you. And he says, you know, I've been doing this for so many years, you never thanked me. What happened today? And he says, I had gone to the Juma prayer, Sayyid Rizvi was talking about this issue. And this is the days when Taliban had took over Kabul, they closed the women's girls' school. And I was criticizing them and the attitude of the Muslims about the way they treat their wives. And so he said, I heard that, and so I thought maybe I should do my part. And so, you know, she was very happy with that. Happy to the extent that she comes to the masjid to thank me for that. You know? So just think about it. A simple thank you. You know, the way I say this many times, you know, that time it was only chai, maybe next time you will get coffee. You say another thank you, might get cappuccino after that. So learn. It's not an issue you are head of the family, so your command doesn't work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that mawadda in the heart of the wife. But you are the one who is to nourish that by your akhlaq and your attitude towards your wife. Salawat pranayik barat. انسان کے اخلاق کی بات ہے اور آج جس شخصیت کے ولادت کا جشن ہم منا رہے ہیں وہ ہمارے لیے واقعاً فیملی لائف میں بھی رول ماڈل اور کمپلیٹ اگزامپل ہیں اس لیے کہ آپ اگر دیکھیں انسان کبھی کبھی جو ہے صرف سنگل ڈائمینشنل ایٹیٹیوڈ ہوتا ہے اس کا جناب عباس کو ہم لوگ نارملی کربلا کے حوالے سے جانتے ہیں ہوتا یہ ہے کہ کبھی کچھ لوگ جو ہیں وہ جنگ میں بڑے بہادر ہوتے ہیں, ویری اسٹرنگ, اپنا جلال دکھاتے ہیں, میدان جنگ میں فرم ہونا, اسٹرن ہونا, اپنا جلال دکھانا, غصہ دکھانا, یہ سب اچھی بات ہے. لیکن وہی شخص اگر گھر آ کے وہی کرے, کچھ لوگوں کی مشکل یہ ہوتی ہے کہ وہ جب غصہ ہوتے ہیں تو ہمیشہ غصہ ہوتے ہیں اور ہر جگہ غصہ کرتے ہیں. زندگی ایسے نہیں چلتی ہے. کمال انسان کا اخلاقی اعتبار سے یہ ہے کہ انسان موقع محل کو دیکھے, جہاں خوشی کی بات ہے وہاں خوش ہو, جہاں ناراضگی کی بات ہے وہاں ناراض ہو, جہاں تعریف کرنی ہے وہاں تعریف کرے, جہاں تنقید کرنی ہے نرمی طور پہ تنقید کرے. انسان کے کیریکٹر میں, اخلاق میں وہ فلیکسیبلٹی ہونی چاہیے اور اسی کو ہم کمال کہتے ہیں. خداوند عالم نے سورہ فتح میں آیت نمبر 29 میں ایک معیار دیا ہے ہمیں. فرماتا ہے محمد رسول اللہ والذین معہ, صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار, محمد رسول اللہ والذین معہ, یعنی وہ لوگ, یعنی رسول اسلام اور وہ لوگ جو ان کے ساتھ ہیں, ان کے فالوورز, ان کے کیریکٹر کیا ہے؟ اشداء علی الکفار ورحماء بینہم. ان میں دو اپوزٹس نظر آتے ہیں, اشداء شدید, رحماء رحیم, یعنی وہاں فرم ہونا, سٹرن ہونا, اور دوسری طرف جو ہے سافٹ ہونا, لینینٹ ہونا, دونوں اپوزٹس ہیں. لیکن خداوند عالم کہتے ہیں کہ رسول اور ان کے ماننے والے وہ جب دشمن کا سامنا کرتے ہیں تو شدید ہوتے ہیں, فرم, لیکن آپس میں جب ان کا انٹریکشن ہوتا ہے تو وہ رحیم ہوتے ہیں, دے آر سافٹ اینڈ لینینٹ ٹورڈز ون انادر. اور یہ وہ کمال ہے اخلاق کا, جہاں کانٹروڈکشنز کو آپ اپنے میں جمع کرتے ہیں, موقع و محل کو دیکھ کے انسان برتاؤ کرے. کچھ لوگ ایسے ہوتے ہیں کہ کمیونٹی کے ساتھ تو بڑے اچھے ہیں, ماشاءاللہ بہت اچھا نام ہوتا ہے, لیکن گھر والے سے جا کے پوچھیں, مثالیں دیکھی گئی ہیں کہ سب کے ساتھ خوش رہتے ہیں, مسکرا سے کے بات کرتے ہیں, پولائٹ ہوتے ہیں, جہاں گھر میں داخل ہوئے ڈکٹیٹر بن جاتے ہیں. بھئی یہ ہر وقت کی بات نہیں ہے, آپ کو حالات کو دیکھنا چاہیے, ایٹیٹیوڈ کو دیکھنا چاہیے. کمال اس میں نہیں ہے کہ آپ ایک ہی طریقے کو اپنائیں, کمال یہ ہے کہ موقع محل کو دیکھ کے, مناسبت کو دیکھ کے آپ اپنے رویوں کو اپنائیں. جناب عباس کے بارے میں کیا ہے, ہمارے سب کانشیس میں تحت شعاع جو ہمارے جو شعور ہے کہ عباس بڑے بہادر تھے, دلیر تھے, شجیع تھے, اور اس کی وجہ سے اتفاق سے وہ جو تصور ہے ہمارے یہاں کہ عباس جو ہیں جلالی ہیں, کبھی کبھی ماں باپ بچے کا نام رکھتے ہیں, کہتے ہیں مولانا یہ مناسب بھی ہے یا ایک بڑا غصہ والا ہوگا. ارے بھائی کس نے کہا ہے کہ نام سے جو ہے وہ اس طرح سے بن جائے گا. ہاں عباس کا معنی جو ہے در حقیقت یہی ہے, وہ شخص جو ہمیشہ غصے والا چہرہ بنا ہے, لیکن یہ نام تھا. اور ہم نام رکھتے ہیں اس کی وجہ سے نہیں بلکہ شخصیت کی وجہ سے, لہٰذا گھبرانے کی بات نہیں ہے. خیر ہمارے یہاں تو گھبراتے اتنا ہیں کہ آج کھانا بھی نہیں ہے لیکن ماشاءاللہ سے سبھی لوگ آئے ہیں. چوتھے امام کے لیے ہم لوگوں کو نیاز رکھنا پڑا ہے ایکچولی, تاکہ مومنی نہ آئیں. خیر کئی سال سے ہم کہتے رہتے ہیں تو اب وہ حق وفا ادا ہو رہا ہے, لیکن وہ خوف کمیونٹی کے درمیان میں جناب عباس کے بارے میں کہ ان کا غصہ اور جلال, بھائی وہ ٹھیک ہے لیکن وہ دشمن کے سامنے. عباس نے اپنا جلال کا مظاہرہ دشمن کے سامنے کیا ہے, جب دشمن سامنے آتا ہے تب وہی ہے, ورنہ عباس در حقیقت جو ہیں اپنے غصے اور ایموشنز کے غلام نہیں ہیں. زیارت میں ہم پڑھتے ہیں السلام علیک یا عبد الصالح. العبد الصالح کسے کہتے ہیں؟ خدا کا نیک بندہ. وہ بندہ جو اپنے تمام خواہشات، اپنی ترجیحات، اپنے پریفرنسز کو فنا کر دیا اس نے امام وقت کی خدمت. یعنی اب وہ فیلنگز عباس کی نہیں ہیں، جو حسین چاہیں گے وہی ہوگا. دشمن کے سامنے شدید، اپنوں کے سامنے رحیم. اور وہ رویہ جناب عباس کا آپ دیکھیں اس لحاظ سے، اور یقیناً اس معاملے میں یہ جو آیت ہے محمد رسول اللہ والذین معہ اشداء علی الکفار ورحماء بینہم، اس کے ایک پرفیکٹ ایگزامپل اور ایمبوڈیمنٹ جو ہیں جناب عباس کی شخصیت. کہ دشمن کے سامنے آتے تھے، دشمن میں کبھی بھی جرأت نہیں تھی عباس کے سامنے لڑے. واقعات کربلا میں آپ نے دیکھا ہے کہ عباس جب گئے ہیں نہر علقمہ تک، مقابلہ نہیں ہوا، اس لیے کہ ڈرتے تھے. کسی کی ہمت نہیں تھی کہ عباس کے جلال اور شجاعت کو دیکھ کے سامنے آئے. ہاں ان لوگوں نے حملہ کیا ہے، لیکن وہ بزدلی کا حملہ تھا، پیچھے سے وار کیا. اگر ان میں کریج تھا اور شجاعت تھی تو سامنے آتے. اور اسی میں کمال ہے کہ عباس دشمن کے سامنے تلوار چلائے بغیر دشمن کو اپنے سے دور رکھتے ہیں، لیکن وہی عباس جب گھر کے اندر جاتے ہیں، بھائی احترام کرتا ہے. حسین سے پوچھیں کہ اگر آپ کے دل میں طاقت ہے تو کہاں سے ہے؟ حسین کہیں گے عباس سے. زینب سے پوچھے اگر بھروسے کی بات ہے تو اس بھروسے کی بنیاد کیا ہے؟ بہن کہیں گی عباس ہے. بچوں سے بھی پوچھیں، سکینہ جیسی بچی سے بھی پوچھیں، وہ عباس کو غصور نہیں سمجھتی ہے. اس لیے کہ عباس جب گھر والوں کے سامنے آتے ہیں تو وہ رحیم ہیں، سافٹ ہیں، وہ اون کی طرح ہو جاتے ہیں. دشمن کے سامنے فولاد کی طرح ہیں اور گھر والوں کے سامنے بالکل اون کی طرح ہو جاتے ہیں، ابریشم کی طرح، سلک کی طرح نرم ہو جاتے ہیں. اس لیے اگر آپ عباس سے پوچھیں کہ ہمارے تمام رشتہ داروں اور چچاؤں میں سب سے فیوریٹ چچا کون ہے، تو اس بچی کے زبان پہ بھی اگر نام آئے گا تو صرف عباس کا آئے گا. صلوات پڑھیں. وہی رویہ ہمیں اپنانا ہے جناب عباس کی سیرت کو دیکھتے ہوئے، اپنے سلسلے میں، اپنے گھر والوں کے سلسلے میں، تاکہ ہم جو بھی ہوں باہر، کم سے کم جب گھر آتے ہیں تو ہم میں وہ نرمی ہونی چاہیے، وہ سافٹنیس ہونی چاہیے اون اور سلک کی طرح. دشمن کے سامنے آپ شدید سے شدید بنیں، لیکن گھر والوں کے سامنے لینینسی اور نرمی کے ساتھ پیش آئیں. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ سے دعا ہے، خداوند اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.